How can we be holy in everyday life? I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that on this episode of The Gary Zimek Show. What I need you to do is stay right where you are, because here we go. Hey, what's up? Come on in. I made a place for you. Whatever. There's a chair for you right here. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Feeling a little goofy today. So glad you could join me on the show. I want to let you know that tonight, I'm pre-recording this because tonight I am speaking at the North American Martyrs Church in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. If it's not too late, the talk begins at 6:45 p.m. There's still time. Stop on by and say hi. But we got a good show today. I want to talk on the program today about this idea of living holiness every day. It's really easy for us to sit here for 30 minutes each night and open our Bibles and talk about Jesus, read the sacred scripture, talk about Jesus and about how much he loves us and about how we should be and about how we should respond, etc., etc. But then when this program's done, or when we leave church and we've got to go out into the world and put that into practice, it's challenging, isn't it? So we are going to open up one of my favorite books, the book we use each Wednesday, My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Paone, and we're going to talk about living your holiness every day. That's the secret to getting to heaven. That's what we are all called to do, to live holiness 24/7, not just in church, not just when it feels good. We are called to live holiness constantly. And yeah, it's very challenging. It's not easy. I think it's very difficult. But the problem is, the reason it becomes so difficult is that we fail to cooperate with the grace that God gives us, or we don't ask for the grace. In other words, we try to become patient all by ourselves without asking for the Lord's help. Well, I can't do that by myself, because eventually I'm just going to lose my mind and blow up and completely lose my patience. But if I ask for the Lord's help and I ask him to give me the grace that I need, then all of a sudden it becomes something that is doable. So we will talk about that later in the show. We're going to look at the daily mass readings from Wednesday of the third week of Easter. And once again, we're going to hear some good information from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we do skip a little bit. I'm looking in my missal yesterday. We skipped a little bit. Yesterday, we were talking about St. Stephen and the fact that St. Stephen was persecuted. We skipped. Oh, no, I guess we didn't skip. I'm sorry. Never mind. We're going chronologically. We don't skip. I was wrong about that. But we're going to talk about, shift focus a little bit. And then we're going to, in the days ahead, hear about how Saul of Tarsus had this encounter with Jesus Christ, and he went on to become the great apostle, St. Paul. So stay tuned. We got some really good stuff coming up in the Acts of the Apostles. I love the readings during the Easter season because they really are tremendous. And in our gospel, we'll continue the Bread of Life discourse again. It doesn't get any better than this. We get to hear about St. Paul and his encounter with Jesus and how he went from the persecutor of the Christians to the apostle to the Gentiles. How does that make sense? It makes sense because the Lord calls the imperfect, people like us, to do his work. And he doesn't call the qualified, as they say. He qualifies the called, right? He gives us what we need, as he did with Paul. So that's going to be all coming up. Let's turn to our Lord right now and ask him to help us. We don't have to ask him to be with us because he is with us. That's, sometimes we use the terminology, Lord, please be with me, and I'll do it too. But really, he's always there. Now we could say, Lord, please stay with me. Please don't let me depart from you. But he's always there. And it's really cool when you think about that. How comforting is that? Have you ever been in a scary situation and you just wanted somebody to be there with you? You talk to a friend. You say, could you just go with me and sit there with me? When you were young, I did this with my parents. When my parents would go with me, I felt really good. Well, if anything really goes wrong, I know they'll help me out. Or they'll know what to do, even if I don't know what to do. But the good news is the Lord is always with us, no matter where we go. Let's turn to Him now and ask for help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for always being there for us. You're always by our side. Father, You love us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to suffer and to die and to teach us what we need to do to be able to get to heaven. Help us, with the assistance of Your Holy Spirit, to be able to hear Your voice in sacred Scripture, to be able to hear Your will for our lives, and to be able to follow what it is that You're calling us to do. Father, we ask that You heal everybody who is sick. We all know so many people who were sick from many, many different ailments, some physical, some psychological. We ask You to heal them. Now, we'll leave the healing up to You. You know what they need. You know the healing that they need best. And we ask You to help them. We ask You to help those who are struggling because of loneliness. We ask You to help those who are dealing with doubt or despair, or who maybe are completely far away from You. These might be our children, close friends, a spouse. We ask You to continue to reach out to these people. And let us know what we can do to help these folks. Help those who are struggling financially. Help them to be able to provide for themselves and their families. And never lose sight of Your providence. Father in heaven, I give You this program. I'm blessed to be able to be on the air, on Blog Talk Radio, to talk about You in the Catholic Church. But I give it to You, and I ask You to speak through me, to speak so that we may all hear Your message and open our minds and hearts to be receptive to that message. And of course, we also give You our own personal needs. We all have different needs, Father. You know what they are. We ask You to help us with our spiritual and our material needs. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Thank You, Father. Thank You so much. We turn to our Blessed Mother Mary now, who will never desert us, and we ask Mary to help us with our intentions and to always keep us close to Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Man, I'll tell you what, that feels really good, doesn't it? One of the first fruits of prayer is a sense of peace, and that's something to remember. It's not just as if you're, you know, a lot of times we make this mistake. We think, well, when I pray, it's just like I'm talking to somebody about it, about my problems, and then I feel better. No, the reason you're feeling better is because when you pray, you get grace. We have to believe that. This isn't just some sort of, we're not going to a master psychologist or a close friend who's just saying things to make us feel better. And yeah, Jesus is our close friend, and He is the best psychologist in the world, but He also gives us grace. So this grace results when we pray. And when we get this grace from the Lord, we're able to experience His peace. That's why you feel good when you pray. My name is Gary Zimak. We do this program on Blog Talk Radio every Monday through Friday. Great to be here with you. We've been doing it for over 5 years now. We're in our sixth year on the air. Thank you for continuing to show up, to help me out financially, to support my Amazon store, my Mystic Monk Coffee sponsorship. You can do all that by going to followingthetruth.com. That's the way we keep this program on the air, and that's the way I keep going in full-time ministry. For, man, I'll tell you what, in January, it was 4 years in full-time ministry. I started this show when I was still working as a project manager, and I was able to do it when I got home from work. But Now, for over 4 years, I've been doing this full-time, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's always such a great pleasure to be with you on the air, and I thank you for making it possible through your contributions. You're great, and I really appreciate your help. We're going to talk today about living holiness, and again, this is a very difficult topic for many of us. It's challenging. How do I live a holy life every day? Well, it is possible. We do it with the help of the Lord, but I have some specifics that I'll share with you later in the program. But right now, we want to look at the Mass readings. This is from Wednesday of the third week of Easter. First reading once again. And I can't say enough about the power of these Mass readings during the Easter season. They are phenomenal. We're going through the Bread of Life discourse. We're going through the Acts of the Apostles. You're going to really learn so much and really try to use your imagination. We kind of do the readings quickly because I don't have a lot of time. It's just a 30-minute program. But if you are reading these to yourself, try to use your imagination and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you to the message that he has for you. This is not just reading a book. And just take your time. It's hard for a lot of us to do, but that's really what helps us to get the most out of the encounter with the Lord through the Scriptures. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, there broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. It's pretty cool what we're seeing happening in this reading. The first thing, we see a reminder, Saul, once again. Yesterday, he was watching over the death, the persecution, and the murder of Saint Stephen. Stephen was one of the deacons of the early church. And Paul, or Saul as he was known then, was agreeing to this. They laid their cloaks at his feet. He was watching their cloaks for them. And he also consented to the death. He consented to the murder of Stephen. Now here we see again Saul trying to destroy the church. That was his objective, to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. Think about that for a minute. Think about the future St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, entering houses and dragging out men and women and handing them over for imprisonment. Why? Because they were Christians and believed in Christ. Again, we're talking about the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Amazing that this is the guy the Lord would use. This is the guy that Jesus would use to do his work. That should make you feel really good. That should make you feel really good, because if he can use Paul, he can use you as well. And then we see something else going on. Philip, another one of the deacons, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it, and they saw the signs he was doing. See, this is the thing you need to remember. If you're talking about Jesus and you're convincing, how can you be convincing? Well, number one, you know him. And number two, you let the Holy Spirit work within you. And people are going to pick up on that. And it's not going to be you doing the work, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, right? And what happens is you end up being a very effective evangelist for Jesus Christ. And when people see that, when they see the relationship you have with Christ, they're going to respond. And this is what we're called to do. But in order for it to be an effective effort on our part. We need to know Jesus so that people can see Jesus in us. And no matter how people like Saul were trying to snuff out the church, which they were, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Jesus said the church will last until the end of time. Don't let anybody tell you the church is going away. The church might be weakened. The church might be growing smaller in numbers. All those things can happen, but the church isn't going anywhere because it's a heavenly institution. And if the Lord wants the church to survive, the church will survive. Psalm 66, let all the earth cry out with God to joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth, sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. This psalm, Psalm 66, and especially this responsorial psalm that we're using, the verse, the response, it's really perfect because it ties in nicely with the very last line of the passage from the Acts of the Apostles. There was great joy in the city. And then we have, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Why? What do we have to be joyful about? That the Lord loves us, that the Lord wants to have a relationship with us, that the Lord will never desert us in this life, and that this life, it's not the end of the story. It is possible, because the Lord loves us so much, for us to live with him in heaven. That's a reason to be joyful. The Gospel, John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40, Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. Wow. That is amazing. And this is only going to get better because we are right in the midst of this this bread of life discourse. And Jesus said a lot of things here that are really important. A couple of things that I just want to highlight. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and who believes in me will never thirst. We are talking about spiritual hunger here. We all have that desire. What's your desire? What are you seeking for in life? What are you searching for? Probably happiness. There's a good chance you're searching for happiness. You might not realize it, even if you're looking for a better paying job, or you're looking for a relationship to take off, or all kinds of different things. The reason we want these things is because we want to be happy. But whether you know it or not, a lot of times we don't realize this, we're seeking God because only God can fulfill us with lasting happiness. So Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I am the only spiritual food that you need, that you'll need to live forever. You've got to make it through this life first. You've got to make it through this life first. So you're going to have challenges. You're going to have temptations. You're going to have desert experiences. The way that you're going to make it through this life in order to get to heaven is with the help of the Lord. He is the bread of life. I have told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. Therefore, if you turn to the Lord and you ask him to reveal himself to you, if you ask him to help you spiritually with your faults, you have a bad temper, you're not persistent in prayer, you don't feel sorry about committing sins, you're not compassionate, you have no desire to grow spiritually, whatever these things are, ask him for help. He will not reject you. And then Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And what was the will of the one who sent me, his Father in heaven? That I shall not lose anything of what he gave me, but I should raise it on the last day. And this is the will of my Father. What's the will of God, your heavenly Father? That he may, that you may have eternal life, and that you shall be raised on the last day. The Lord, your heavenly Father, wants you to live forever in heaven. That's his will. That's what he wants. Do you want it? If you don't, think about it and ask for that desire for heaven. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Wow, I get fired up about this. Well, let's talk about what do we need to do in order to get to heaven. We need to be holy. Well, what does it mean to be holy? It means to do God's will. Well, how do I do that, right? I mean, these are all very natural questions. Let's talk about that. My Daily Bread, that's what we do every Wednesday here. If you haven't gotten this, you know, there are a few books that I tell you all the time you really need to get. This is one of them. This is a nice little pocketbook, very small. This is written in 1954. It's still being printed. I think I've mentioned that Tan Books publishes it now. I'm very sure that it's available in the EWTN religious catalog because this was one of Mother Angelica's favorite books. We're looking at Holiness in Everyday Life, chapter 27 of My Daily Bread. And the way the book works, we have a little meditation that could come from Christ. And really what we do with this is through our imagination, we picture the Lord saying these words to us. My child, at times you hear people say that they are too busy to bother with religion. You ever heard that? You ever say it yourself? Yeah. People who say such things do not understand me. Remember, this could be Jesus talking. Nor themselves, nor their daily life. They do not realize that religion is as necessary an activity as eating, sleeping, and working. You know how many people, and you probably don't believe, you probably believe in the importance of religion because you wouldn't be listening to this program if you didn't. But there are times when you think that, well, we all do this, that, well, I know I should pray about this more, I know I should trust more, but this has to get done, or there's no way that this will ever work out if I don't get this done, or, you know what, I don't really believe that the Lord's going to fix this. He doesn't care about me. We have these tendencies to believe these things. And we'll put religion, we'll shove it into the background, and we'll run around like Martha taking care of Jesus and completely ignoring the fact that we need to spend a little time and talk to the Lord. I am far more than the air you breathe, the food you eat, and the rest which brings you renewed strength. All of these things and everything else come to you from my hand. Without my loving support each moment, these things would fail you, and you yourself would vanish from the face of the earth. Remember I talked about the importance of seeking after spiritual treasures and not just material things? Anything material you get in your life comes from the Lord, so we certainly don't want to neglect asking for spiritual gifts and thanking him for the material things he sends our way. I am the center of your existence. You depend on me more than you dream. Just as you give due attention to the people who come into your daily life, so too is it normal for you to give due attention to me, to speak to me, to try to please me, to ask for my help, to express sorrow for your offenses, and to love me for my goodness. These are normal acts for any intelligent human being. The more I show myself to him, the more should he strive to please me in his everyday life. Religion is the bond which unites you to me. To neglect it is as foolish as refusing to breathe, to eat, to rest. In fact, it is worse. These other things keep your body alive, but religion is necessary for the eternal life of your soul. For the eternal life of your soul. Now think about that for a minute. We fail to recognize this, don't we? We've got other things to do. I've got TV shows to watch. I got sports to attend. My kids are running around. They got a lot of things to do. I have sporting events to attend. I've got to go to sports myself. I've got to go out with my friends. I have to watch movies. I got real stuff to do. How many times does that happen? It happens a lot, doesn't it? But how are we ever going to get to that point where we realized it? Religion, it's important because that's the way we are united to the Lord. It becomes important when we meditate on it, when we think about it, when we give some time, when we have questions like this come up, and we sit down and we think and we say, yeah, I guess so. Maybe I better start carving out some time for the Lord. Maybe I better start getting up earlier in the day to talk to him. There is, I skipped a part. The man who neglects this part of his life is abnormal. That is, he is not what he ought to be. He is neglecting something which is natural and normal for him, something which perfects him more than he realizes. There is no real opposition between laboring for your earthly needs and laboring for heaven. You have to work every day, but this work can be a glorious prayer. You must eat, work, sleep, and have recreation, but all of these can become holy actions, actions done for eternal life. Whatever you do, do it as I want it done, and you will be doing it as perfectly as possible. Be reasonable in whatever you do, or say, or think. Refuse to violate my commandments, regardless of any earthly advantages or disadvantages. I made the things in this life for you, so that you may perfect yourself by using them intelligently. Let my words and example guide you in whatever you do. In doubt, consult my church. Do this, and you will be working for success on earth and an all-satisfying glory in heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, that is a powerful message. We need to think about this. We need to think about the fact that your relationship, our relationship with the Lord, is just as important, is more important than eating, drinking, sleeping, watching TV, or anything else we do. Because if we don't have that relationship, number one, I guarantee it, you're going to be miserable. You will not be at peace. You're going to worry. How do you know your relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be? Are you worried all the time? That's one of the first signs. Because as you get to know Christ more and more, you will worry less. Do you fight against the things that happen in your life? The unpleasant things? If so, your relationship needs to be worked on with the Lord. All right, something to think about. Once I get a view of this earthly life, I will see how all important a part God plays in it. Instead of living for the moment or for the next few years, I'll live for my highest and most important goal. I will see the unending importance of what I am doing today. I will understand how each act of this day helps me become a little more perfect, a little more ready for heaven. Only sin is foolish. Only sin is bad. All else is good and pleasing to God because it helps me in one way or another. And we end this part with the prayer, My Father in heaven, I desire to make the best use of this earthly life of mine. I want to live as full a life as possible. Therefore, in everything I think, do, or say, I want you to be my partner. Since you support me in all my thinking, speaking, and acting, I want to please you in them. By living this way, I will be following your wisdom and my own highest good. I now join this daily life of mine to the earthly life of Jesus, your divine Son. With his example and with the strength of his most holy sacraments, I hope to please you at every moment. Thus my daily life will be my best preparation for eternal life. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was a good meditation, wasn't it? Spend some time today thinking about just how much you need the Lord, just how much you need that bread of life. And make the effort, if you can, to try going to daily Mass. Maybe once extra in addition to your Sunday obligation. Once, twice. Since I started doing it, it's changed my life. Now listen, you might not be able to do it. You might not have a Mass that's practical for you to attend, because I understand people have to work. But how about Saturday? Maybe one extra Mass on Saturday. Maybe stopping in the Adoration Chapel or a church on the way to and from work, to just spend some time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You're going to get graces from that. And those graces are going to help you to continue moving forward when you just feel like giving up. This life is tough. You know it. This life is tough. We're not going to get to heaven without the help of the Lord. He wants to give you that help. He will not turn you down. Believe me. I want to thank you for tuning into the program tomorrow. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow night. And please let me know if you have any questions. Gary at followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.